Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Fine, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. That's going to be our scripture passage for today. I'm grateful to be back here with you this morning. Thank you for last week for allowing some time where I can be away and be refreshed and some time with family. Thank you for that. But I'm excited to dive back into our fall sermon series that we're in here at Westview, where we are doing a little bit of a health check. We're running a scan each week on our health as a church. And we're trying to look beyond the basics, right? Looking beyond the numbers, looking beyond worship attendance, or looking beyond budget and those sorts of things. But we're taking that inner look and looking at multiple facets of what it means to be a church and a community of brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we've looked at a lot of different things so far. We've looked at our relationship with the Word of God, that we are rooted in the Word. We've talked about each day as we follow Jesus Christ, we want to be transformed more and more to be like Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, we were challenged to intentionally share this faith that we have, to be invitational and to share the good news. A couple weeks ago, we were challenged to have eyes to see the need in our local community and not just see it, but to be oriented to serve with compassion. And then the last time we were together, we talked a little bit about our role as the church within the global community. And this morning, we're going to take a look at another mark of church health. And it's one that I personally am so excited to talk with you about today. And so let's pray, and then we're going to read our passage and spend some time talking together. So would you please join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful for this time and this space that we get to talk about your word together. And more than just talk about it, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit's power, that what is said and what is read and what is heard would all be what you would have for each one of us today. Meet us right where we are at. Let us hear what we need to hear this day so that we can continue to grow in our understanding of your love for us and then your invitation, your call upon us as your people, the church. So lead and guide, we ask, in all things, and in all things may you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as people approved by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor do we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are our witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Amen. Now, if there's anything that we know about the Apostle Paul, is that he is passionate about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with crystal clarity. It is Paul's ambition to share Jesus, and specifically to share Jesus where Jesus has not yet been shared. Paul's life desire is to know Christ and to make him known, to share the hope of Jesus. This is his life's calling. This is his ambition. This is his purpose. And this is what leads Paul on those multiple missionary journeys where he travels miles and miles and miles by foot and by boat to proclaim the gospel. And he endures, as we've read, hardship and opposition. He's run out of town. He has shipwrecked. He's stoned. He's beaten, he's whipped, all those sorts of things, and it's all for the sake of the gospel. And even in this passage, again, his heartbeat is on display. I'm amazed at how Paul over and over and over and over again makes the point he is all about the gospel. Did you see in this passage, did you hear all the knots? Or the ones that are actually there or the ones that are implied? Right? Paul says this, he's not held back by strong opposition or previous suffering. That's verse 2. He's not sharing from error or impure motives or from trickery, verse 3. He's not trying to please people by what he's doing, verse 4. He's not using flattery and not putting on a mask to cover up greed, verse 5. He's not seeking the praise of people, verse 6. He's not been a burden to anyone while preaching the gospel, verse 9. Paul is not about any of those things. Why? Because Paul is all about the gospel, about sharing Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And he says in this passage, despite that opposition, despite previous suffering, Paul dares to tell the gospel, verse 2. He knows he's been entrusted with the gospel, and so that is what he shares. Verse 4, he undergoes toil and hardships. He works night and day so that he and his companions can preach the gospel of God to the Thessalonians. Verse 9, this is Paul's life. This is his passion. This is his ambition. This is his only aim. This is his daily goal. This is what Paul is about, is to share the gospel of Jesus. And that's what makes verse 8 so fascinating. Confession time here. I love verse 8. I am wired for verse 8. When I read verse 8, my heart leaps and yearns within me. See, verse 8 is one of those fundamental and catalyst verses for me in my own life, in my own call to ministry. In fact, you know, when it's all said and done, right, when I retire or you put me in the ground, whenever it's done, I hope that verse 8 can be a satisfactory summary of my life in ministry. So would you listen with me to verse 8? Paul writes this, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Isn't that a fantastic, compelling, inspiring verse of Scripture? Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the Apostle Paul, I never quite think of him as Mr. Cuddly Wuddly. You? I mean, fiery? Yes. Stubborn? Probably. A little bullheaded and a little get out of my way. I'm sorry if I step on your toes, but I've got a gospel to preach, so I am sorry if I step on your toes, but I got a gospel to preach, right? I mean, that's the kind of Paul I think about, yes? Tender? Affectionate, a snuggler, Mr. Kumbaya around the campfire. That's not how I think of the Apostle Paul, you? And yet look what he writes in this verse. He says, we loved you so much. The word there, that phrase there, it means to long and to desire. It's to experience this strong feeling intensified by inner attachment. I mean, that's love, isn't it? And Paul says these individuals, these believers here in Thessalonica, they have become so dear to us, Paul writes. The word that literally means beloved. So much that Paul says he's delighted. The word of theirs is he's pleased, he's excited, he's eager to share not only the gospel, right? Right? This is his sole ambition, but there's another knot there, right? He's excited to share not only the gospel, but our lives as well. The word therefore to share is the Greek word metadidomai. And that's a super fun and easy one to say. And I know I make you say the hard words, so can I make you say the easy words too? Yes? Metadidomai. Ready? Metadidomai. Oh, let's try it again. Metadidomai. Yeah, metadidomai literally means to share, or it means to transfer or to give a share. Right? So it is to offer something of self and give it over to the other. And so what Paul is saying here is he's saying, my feelings are so intense, my love is so intense for you, my beloved, that I am pleased, I'm delighted, I'm excited to share a part of what makes me, me, and to give that to you. And as I give a part of myself to you, you all then are giving a part of yourself to me. And we are bonded together because we carry a little bit of each other within us. You know what that's called? A relationship. Where we not only are ourselves, but we are a compilation of one another because of metadidomai. To give a share of myself with you and yourself with me. Let me see if we can illustrate this a little bit. I got a little bit of an example. Hopefully this is going to work for you here this morning. So what I have here this morning is a small little bag of M&Ms. Take a note. Favorite candy, plain M&Ms. Yes? Other M&Ms are good. Caramel, they're good too, but you cannot beat plain M&Ms. And I got a little bag of plain M&Ms here, and they're all the color blue. Go blue. Yes. Okay. But the color blue is representing me, all right? Because this is me, okay? So these plain M&Ms, all blue is me because I'm only me. I am Josh. That is who I am, okay? So this is representing me. Now, I gave a few other M&M bags out there. Amanda, yes, Amanda, I gave M&M bags to you. So here's what metadidomai is about, all right? So metadidomai is I'm going to come to Amanda here, and we're going to share life together. Maybe I had a prayer request, and I asked Amanda to pray for me, and Amanda shared a prayer request with me, and I'm going to pray for her. So we're sharing a part of who we are with each other. So I'm going to give a part of myself to her. She's going to give a part of herself to me. All right, who else did I give a bag of M&Ms to? A few others over there, all the way across there? We'll look at this way. I think I have one over here. All right, so Denny and I don't know if you know this about Denny. He is a fantastic encourager. This guy gives me, he makes my head big. Danny, you make my head big. Got to keep my head small, right? But Danny is a fantastic encourager. And so every time we talk, he's either writing me a note or an email, or he's coming up and he's sharing. So he is sharing a part of me. When I offer something from worship or from preaching, and then I share with him, and then he encourages me. And so we are sharing a part of our life with one another. So I give a part of myself to him, and he gives a part of himself to me. Wonderful. Thanks, Denny. Julie's got a bag of M&Ms here. Now, Julie, we've had the privilege of serving together. Julie's been an elder here at Westview, and so we've been able to work together and pray for this congregation together and to care for one another. And so in our service, we have shared life together. And so I share a part of myself with her, and she shares a part of herself with me. I think we have a couple other ones here, right? All right, we're going to sneak across this aisle right here. Now, Scott and Jody, but Scott's got the bag here. We're in a small group together. And so we're able to study God's Word together. We're able to share life together. We're able to share what's going on in our families. And so I, in small group, myself and Heather and Scott and Jody and the others in our group, we're able to share some of our life with each other. And Scott's able to share, and Scott and Jody share some of their life with me. And then Christine's got a bag too here. And our families, I thought about this, you know, when we went out a little bit ago, we used to exchange babysitting together, didn't we? Yeah. When these kids were young, we're like, we need a break. How do we do this? And we didn't have, you know, finance, like save a lot of money just to share babysitting together. And we shared fun, joy, laughter, lots of things together. And so we share life together. And so I share a little bit of my life with Christine, and Christine shares some of her life with me. I get them all? I think I got them all. Yeah. So now what has happened to my bag here, right? So this bag is still full. It's still predominantly me. Yes? You see, it's still predominantly blue, right? Because I'm me. But now I carry a bit of some other individuals with me. And I think it looks great, right? I think it looks beautiful when we share a little bit, because I have carried a little bit of Christine and Scott and Denny and Julie and Amanda and others with me. And this is metadidomai. You know, I'm still me. It's still predominantly blue, but it looks beautiful because I'm sharing a part of each other. Friends, this is Christian community. This is sharing life together. This is metadidomai. And it's not just Christian community, but it's compelling Christian community. There's something attractive about this. There's something powerful about this. There's something exciting about this. Because when we live together in Christian community with one another, I would argue that compelling Christian community isn't just the spurring us on to share the gospel, but I would say that when we live in compelling Christian community with one another, it is the witness of the gospel. Because when we have genuine love for one another, that's a powerful testimony today, friends. When we are able to share life together and we can form bonds with each other in a deep way, and we have a relationship with each other, and that can then supersede differences of opinion that we have. And when we are able to have that bond together of unity with one another that supersedes differences of opinion, that gets noticed in our world today. When we love and accept and respect one another for who we are, not what we ought to be, not what we should be, not what social media hypes and says we're supposed to be, but when we can love one another for who we are, that is a message of welcome and inclusion that is rarely found elsewhere. That sharing a part of me with you and you with me, that's like a compelling Christian community, and that, my friends, is a mark of a healthy church. And Westview, you are to be commended. My heart is grateful when I hear things like this. And these are phrases I've heard recently. Where I hear people say, I can be honest here. I know it's okay to share my joys and my celebrations here. I know I can share my hurt and my pain here. When I hear those sorts of things, my heart is glad that we can share community with each other. Westview, one of our core values that is woven into the DNA that God has created here at Westview, one of those core values is authentic in relationships. That this is a space where we can be honest and true and to be ourselves. That we are a community where we can bare our souls. That we can shed a few tears. That we can celebrate when one another has triumphs. When we can share struggles with one another. And all of that wrapped in Christ's love. And you know who sees this best? It's you kids. Kids are excellent detectors of something that is genuine or not. And I've been so blessed, again, over the last month or so, I've been listening and I've been able to hear out of the mouths of kids or from their parents who tell me. I've heard sentiments like this. One kid said, I like our church because I know people and people know me. Another one said, I like our church because I can have lots of relationships with people. Another one said, I like our church because I can just be me. That's compelling Christian community, isn't it? I love how we share life together. I love how Bill Maywee comes up to my son Josiah each week and says, how many pancakes blocks did you get last week? And he tells him, stay low when you're blocking. I love that Janet Harwood mentors three young women from our congregation. It gives them a safe space to share life together. I love how one of our preteens here, during every meet and greet, will reach out to some of the younger, newer kids in our church and say hello to them. I love how a praise team, our rehearsals are much more than about practicing music, but they're about developing relationships and faith with one another. And so these relationships are happening between the generations and between skill level. I love when I hear about a small group that goes on a camping trip annually together with one another every year. I love about when I hear about men's breakfast. I love when I hear about journey groups that continue to meet after their session is done. I love our staff that we so often laugh with and, yes, sometimes at each other. And I love that I could keep this paragraph going on and on and on and on all morning, but I have to cut it short. I love the compelling Christian community that is being developed here at Westview, because I think we inherently know something, Westview. But it's good for us to be reminded again, because there's a temptation to make Christian community about something other than sharing life. That temptation's real. Because I think we know that church is much more than it is than worship. I think we know that church is much more than a song. I think we know that church is much more than a Sunday morning. I think we know that church is much more than a particular ministry. I think we know that church is much more than a song or flashing lights or a high-tech program or some strong emotions that are elicited or some sort of a source of entertainment. I think that we know that church is much more than a distributor of religious goods and services so that we can be filled up, and if we don't get enough here, then we'll just go to the store, I mean the church down the block. I think we know that the church is at least, at its heart, at its fundamental root, is a community of people living life together as they share the gospel of Christ. And we have all these different people who are sharing life with one another, metadidomi with each other, a bit of ourselves shared with you, and a bit of yourselves shared with each other as we live and share the gospel of Christ. And this sharing with each other is why it is so important to be together. To gather together, not just in worship, but in connection events or Bible studies or small groups or discovery hour or a bike ride or going to the games together, sharing life together. It's so good to be together. You know, when we started coming back after the COVID lockdown, right, when we reopened worship, in-person worship, you know, some people came right away, and then some people came a little on, and some people come a little long later, and some a little later, and everybody just kind of came at the pace that was right for them. And no matter when people were coming back, I heard one consistent theme. One phrase I heard over and over and over again. You know what it was? They said, "I miss this." And you know what the "this" is? The "this" was not my eloquent preaching, sadly enough. The "this" was not a rockin' tune from the praise team. The "this" was not a fabulous discovery hour class. The "this" was not even the donut holes. The "this" was each other. The "this" was being together with one another in community as family and as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, sharing and living life together. Now, hear my heart for a moment. I'm going to talk specifically to those of us who are online. Let me just hear my heart. I fully respect and I fully understand if there are health concerns and concerns around COVID and those sorts of things that are keeping us away. I respect that 100%. But if there's something else that has come up, whether it's gotten into a rut or convenience or the priority list isn't quite there, or it's just easier to do it online and we don't know if we want to make the effort to come. If there's something else, just know that we miss you. If it's health concerns, we miss you as well. But if it's something other than health concerns, know that we miss you and you are missing this. We'd love to have you. Recently, I just read this quote. It says this. I think we'll put it on the screen here. So the greatest gift from a Christian point of view is the gospel of God. But from a human point of view, it is to share one's inmost being with someone. You know, the beauty of what Paul is writing here in verse 8 is that a church community can offer both great gifts. That is our great opportunity as a church community, to share life and the gospel. That as we work and serve together, as we laugh and cry together, as we bleed and sweat together, as we pray and sing together, we do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, pointing one and all to Him. What a gift that is for us to be able to do. So the question for us then this morning is this: how do we foster this compelling Christian community? You know, I think we've been, and rightly so, we've been commended, and I commend you for the community that we've been able to continue to develop here at Westview. But how do we continue to foster this, right? How do we continue to take steps forward to continue to metadidomize, share life and gospel with each other? Well, if you look in your scripture passage again, if you look down at verses 7 and 11 and 12, you're going to see that Paul here likens himself to a mother and to a father in his relationships with the Thessalonians. And so these deep, intimate, familial relationships that Paul says, I was like a mother and like a father to you. And as Paul expresses himself in that way, we see five different things that he does. And all five of them are so key in developing Christian community. You can't just have one. You can't just have two. Because all five of them really span the scope of Christian nurture. So let's look at these together. Start in verse 7 with me. Paul says that we were gentle among you. Right? Gentleness is love in action. Gentleness is about patience and understanding and graciousness all rolled together as one. I shared with you earlier about this conversation I had with some pastors, right? The anxiety and the stress that we're feeling. Over the last couple of months, I just want to be honest with you, that old phrase that I'm going to say here in just a moment has never rung truer. You know that phrase where it says be kind, or I'm just going to say be gentle, because you don't know the fight, the struggle that someone is facing that's unspoken, right? I'm butchering that phrase. Let me say it the right way here. Be kind, be gentle, for everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, you've heard that before? Over the last couple of months, I have been more convinced of that more than ever. Friends, there's hurt going on. I got stuff. You got stuff. We all got stuff. There is hurt in our lives. There's hurt in our homes. There's hurt behind closed doors that we know nothing about. And so as we are wanting to foster compelling Christian community, it is good for us to take an initial posture of gentleness, to take a deep breath and be gentle with each other. Second thing that Paul says here in verse 7, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. And Paul talks about little children in this verse here. He's talking about a mother who's nursing, caring for the basic needs of her infant child. And so just really quickly, just general care for each other. We'll get more specific here in just a minute. Jump down to verse 11. Paul talks about how he and his companions were like a father to the Thessalonians, how a father treats their children. And then he goes on to verse 12 and offers three very distinct and important words. The first word is encouraging. And encouraging here is more than just clapping your hands and saying, good job, good going, keep it up, you can do it. The word here for encouraging isn't just cheering someone along the course, it's really setting the course. It's really showing the way. It even means to admonish. It means to keep on the course. And so it's really about us setting the course, showing the way, and encourage others to come with. The second word that Paul uses in verse 12 is comforting. Comforting, to console, to come around, to be with one another. And so this is similar to caring, but this gets more specific, right? When there are those in our community, when those things come up, that are unforeseen, and they're hard, and there's hurt, and there's pain, there's trials, and when we're familiar with one another, and we're familiar with the circumstances, then a community wraps itself around those in need and supports and offers solace and comfort. The third thing that Paul says here, the final word in verse 12, is urging. And that urging comes with this phrase, urging you to live lives worthy of God. And that's exactly what it sounds like. This is about pushing one another, imploring one another, keep on, take the next step, go further, set your sights higher, set your standard higher, go deeper in your walk with Jesus Christ. Don't settle for status quo in your relationship with God. Don't settle for status quo in your relationship with each other. It's kind of what this whole series is about, right? We want to take inventory of our health as a church so that we can take that one step and we can take that second step and we can take that third step and continue to walk faithfully following God's heart and desire for us as a church. We want to do that from a place of health, and so we're urging one another. And today we're urging each other to live into the beauty and the depth of compelling Christian community so that this might be true of us. that we might be able to say that we loved each other so much, that we were excited, we were delighted to share not only the gospel, we were excited not only to do ministry together, we were excited not only to bring the good news of Jesus Christ outside these walls, but we were delighted to share our lives with each other because we had become so dear to us. That happens through gentleness and care and encouragement and comfort and urging. That happens when there is metadidomai, a sharing of me with you and you with me and us with each other. And friends, that is a witness. And that is compelling Christian community. So what we want to do again this morning, just as we've done throughout this sermon series, is we want to do a scan, right? And this comes in the form of some reflection questions. We want to take a little inventory this morning, and we're going to do something just a little different, okay, this morning. We're going to have one question in just a second, and then there's going to be one action item with this, okay? So a little different this morning. And here's why. I know I've shared this from the pulpit before, so this is not new information if you've been here at Westview. But I am convinced that no one in this world ever receives enough honest praise. I'm convinced that no one ever receives enough honest encouragement. Right? I'm talking more than like, oh, nice shoes or nice haircut, looks great. No. I'm talking about honest praise. You know, Debbie, I thought Debbie was here, but she's in children's worship now, isn't she? I had this example for Debbie. Can I share you my encouragement for Debbie? And then you tell her I said this, okay? Well, I love Debbie. I love that she prayed this morning, but I love that Debbie, I love her passion for our kids here at Westview. I love that she has faithfully served on the children's ministry team for many years and keeps pushing that team forward. And I'm amazed at Debbie's patience and her endurance working with the preschool kids during VBS. But I bless Debbie. I want to encourage her. You tell her that she was encouraged this morning. You do that for me? But that's the kind of encouragement we're talking about, real encouragement. And so here's our question. Can we put the question up on the screen? Here's the question for us to reflect on here. Who within our church community can I encourage this week? Who within our church community can I encourage this week? Now, I'm going to invite us in just a second to take a moment to think about that. And, you know, if you're new with us, if you're here for the first time or the second time or so, and you're like, I don't know anybody here. My name's Josh. You now know me. You don't have to do it for me. But maybe you have a home church. Maybe you have a person in your life that was a mentor or someone that was instrumental in your faith, and you want to encourage them. I would invite you to do that. But for those of us who've been here for a while, who? Ask God for a name or names that he's inviting you to encourage today. Maybe it's someone that you've known forever. Maybe it's someone who you just met. Maybe it's someone who's sitting next to you this morning. Maybe it's someone who you really don't even know. You're going to have to come up to me and say, hey, who's that person who does, and I'll help you out with that. Doesn't matter who it is. In adults, let me just remind you, our youth and our kids need encouragement too. So take just a minute, pause and ask God, God, would you give me the name or names of people that you're inviting me to encourage this week, all right? Let's do that in a moment of silence here. Okay, here's what we're going to do now. I'm just going to push us just a little bit because, you know, every other Sunday we said, okay, we're going to reflect and we're going to keep this to ourselves. But we're going to do just a little something different, okay? I'm going to invite you, we're going to take just a couple seconds to do this. I'm going to invite you to turn to the person to your left or to the right, in front of you or behind you, and I want you to share with them who God laid on your heart. And here's why. When we write something down, or we audibly express it, we're all the more likely to do it. So if the person that you're going to encourage is sitting next to you, that might be a little awkward. Sorry about that. Or turn the other way. Right, Brian, I'm going to come to you. Right, does that sound good? And just for, you know, 5-7 seconds, just share with each other. Because here's the thing, we can then hold each other accountable, right? So next week, Sunday morning, you're going to come in, you're going to see that person, you're like, no. You're going to say, hey, did you encourage? I did. Did you do it? And you can hold each other accountable because we want to do this, okay? So literally, 7 seconds, ready, share with each other, go. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, told you, it was going to be really quick. Now here's the thing. You shared with one another here. Now we've talked it, we reflected on it, we've shared with each other, now we're going to do it, right? So this is a text message or a phone call or an email or there's some, if you want to write a note, I put some notes out on the Welcome Center, not a ton of notes, but some, you know, standard Westview notes. You want to grab one of those, you got your own note or a personal conversation, invite them out for coffee. I know face-to-face, you know, face-to-face communication, what's that about, right? But we can do that, right? So encourage one another. We're going to do this because this is part of us living our life as a compelling Christian community, sharing life together, metadidomai, as we share life and the gospel. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. Let's stand together. And we didn't do our meet and greet, our fellowship time earlier because I wanted to wait till after. So we're going to give us a little extra time this morning to congregate and to fellowship and to say hello to one another, welcome one another. Those of you who are online, make sure we hear, we say hello and we wave to our friends online in just a moment. If you have a chat feature, I'm going to invite you to answer these questions as well. So as you go around, if you need something to talk about, you can either say, here's how I saw God at work this past week. Maybe something big, maybe something small, it doesn't matter. But here's where I saw God at work, or here's something I'm excited about in this week to come. So that's something you guys can, we can talk about. You at home, if you have an opportunity to chat, we'd love to hear answers to that question. Let's take a few moments this morning and fellowship in Christian community with each other.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.